Hello and welcome to the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. For Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. We're with you each weekday afternoon from 1 to 1:15. And our goal is to teach the Word of God, edify the saints, and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, each brother rotates the speaking from week to week. And now, our message for today. Today I'd like to start a study and a series on creation. These messages are tape delayed from a local assembly in the area.
To begin with, in Hebrews 11, and as well, I'm going to eventually be over in Genesis 1. But in Hebrews 11, it's a good place to see an introduction into the theme of creation. I was very exercised about this in recent weeks. In one sense, when we think of creation, do we not think of Genesis chapter 1 as something that is all a simple story, a Bible story, if you will, as we read out of our children's Bible story books to our young people and to our children? But you know, it is much more of a critical issue and subject than just something that is a nice story. We see that when we think of creation, we see the foundation of God's Word, the very beginning of what God had to say. And as we would like to consider these things, it's a probability I won't get through the entirety of Genesis 1 today, but we'll see how far we will be able to cover. But in Hebrews 11, it's the chapter of faith. And as you recall, many different men and women of God from the Old Testament are being recalled. And it speaks of their faith and how it was seen by their actions. But in Hebrews 11, let's read the first three verses. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Notice there when it says that, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, in the margin of my Bible, I have a King James with Newberry reference. It points out that the word of God there would be translated the spoken word of God. And as we turn to Genesis 1, we see that is of a truth. God spoke creation into being. You may say, well, this is a simple truth. But my friends, I'd like to point out, if you would turn back to Genesis 1, that this is under much attack today. And really, for the last 100 years or so, there has been even an attack within the body of Christ. There are subtleties, even among those that profess Christ, of mixing the thoughts of evolution with creation. Perhaps we'll touch on that either this time or another. But for one reason, and that is a defense of creation and of the Word of God in its clarity, we must teach creation. We see that evolution comes from the basis of atheism. And that is a message in itself to teach from an apologetic standpoint or a defense of the faith, the apologetics of creation. So when we think of evolution, for example, there are two systems, world systems, that are prominent. There is the Christian worldview, which says that God's Word is the total authority. It is the inerrant Word of God. There is the other worldview, which is called humanism. Humanism says no to God and deifies man. Humanism, for all practical purposes, is our state, our government religion. Not put in words, not put on paper, but in all practical points, humanism is our most prominent view. For example, when you think of evolution in the mindset of man being preeminent, think of the many ills of society. Think with me of the things that God in His Word has condemned, but yet man says that it's okay. You see, the root of these things come from atheism. You see, atheism says there is no God. And then that translates into a teaching such as evolution. And we then see a worldview out of that being humanism. Well, some examples. When you dissect and look at some of the things in society that God has condemned, such as homosexuality, abortion, and you can name several things, racism, back with Hitler, with the supremacy of a certain group of people and those types of things, Marxism, communism. If you examine the roots of these things, for example, Hitler praised Darwinism. And you see that once mankind says there is no God, then he will justify many things in his mind. Let me give you an example. And we'll see this on one of the days of creation at some point. But man has a consciousness toward God. Animals and plants do not. So we see there's a difference between man and animal. When you think of an animal cannot sin. An animal has no conscience toward God. An animal has not been given a law. The law has been given, the Old Testament, not to save us, but to show us our sinful heart and that we need Christ. So animals do not have a law. Animals do not have a conscience. So therefore, they cannot sin. Well, if you, in an atheistic standpoint, say, as the Proverbs say, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, if you take the italicized words of the King James out, there is, then it would be read, the fool has said in his heart, no God. Either way you take it, by application, we see God pointing out the attitude of man with an atheistic point of view. And if you have that point of view, and you say there is no God, you say, therefore, I'm not accountable to anyone, then you, in a sense, become as an animal. You're able to say, well, there's no God, so therefore, what is wrong with me being involved in this? What is wrong with killing unborn, as they would say, fetuses? We just evolved from an animal anyway. You see, what's wrong with these relationships that are men with men and women with women? What is wrong with these things? There's no God. I'm unaccountable. You see, you've digressed to the attitude of an animal. There's no consciousness. There's no law given to me. So we see that these things are crucial to be taught when we see the need to teach Genesis 1. Because in this, we see the importance of what our children are founded in. It's the foundation of what they understand. It's not just a preference of evolution or creation. It stands for the firm foundation of what type of worldview, if you will, that you'll hold to. Those things of God or the things of humanism. Well, when we see these things, again, when you think of the government, we're told to pray for them, those in authority. But have you ever thought that the things in our society today that are based on the government funded, so often, with all the good things that they do, that, for example, libraries, public television, public radio, these types of things, they always tend to go with that evolutionary, humanistic standpoint, just kind of mixing it in, sometimes very blatantly. Even government or public schools have gotten more and more that way. With no prayer, you see. God, we can't have religion in schools, but yet the irony of it is, humanism has filtered its way into the schools, and in a sense, it's a subtle religion. Think of this. It takes more faith to be an atheist and believe in evolution than to put your faith on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. When you see that Christ, as the scripture says, he loved me and gave himself for me. When we see the creation as the glory of God is shown in his handiwork, the psalmist says, we can look around us and see that this is not by chance. So to put your faith on the firm foundation of Christ, we see stability. We see the firm rock. Christ is called the rock. It takes more faith, may I suggest to you, to believe in by chance we have all become what we are, that God has brought us to this point. That out of the billions of stars and the planets all around it, by chance, we see man here. We see how man, as they would say, evolved from nothing. It takes more faith to believe that. Well, as we point out these things, I'm kind of hurrying along, but there's so much here, so much wonderful information. I have some research or some publications that I'm looking to be on the mailing list, and I've heard of them for a long time. You may have heard of them from the Bible Broadcasting Network called Creation Moments. Another one would be the Institution for Creation Research, ICR. They are two groups that are Christian, and yet many of them are scientists as well. They have their PhD in science, so if you ever hear anyone say that all scientists are evolutionists, it's not true. We see this particular school of ICR, there is a group of Christian scientists. They will go to the Word of God as we see in Hebrews 11, that by faith we see that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's why we believe it. But these men have dedicated their lives to going around the country and trying to teach and to undergird all and turn the tables of all the false teachings of atheism and humanism. Some people in these, particularly universities, where you have a man that's been in a professor for 30 years, he's 60 years old, and he's a staunch atheist, an evolutionist, and here comes a 19-year-old, comes into a secular university, and maybe he has heard about the things of God, and he has no defense unless he's grounded. He has no defense. They will laugh at him, that 60-year-old professor. So some of these men will actually go, and when they're willing, debate these atheists. There's one particular brother named Dwayne Gish, and he's very expertise at this, in a sense. The Lord has gifted him. It's been said that he's never lost a debate. It's hard enough for him to find ones that are now willing to actually discuss it in public with him, is what I've been told, because he is so thoroughly grounded in the things of God and tied it in with his scientific background. We believe God created because of the Word of God. But some of these unbelievers, they need that stumbling block knocked out from under them. They need to be, in a sense, to see that, yes, we can logically show you the falsities of evolution. But then the heart of man must be dealt with by his word. So the word of God and the spirit of God ultimately is what deals with the lost heart. Well, having said that, just as a quick overview, let's think a little bit about Genesis chapter 1. When we think of the creations of God and the great works of God, you know, it's mentioned throughout the Word of God. If you ever notice in the poetic books, in Psalms, in Proverbs, and in Job, things pertaining to His creation. You know, even the one called the Behemoth in Job, I believe it's 40, that seems to be, by its description, seems to be describing a dinosaur. You can turn throughout the poetic books of the Old Testament and see the mention of creation. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 824-5525 or write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramsor, zip code 27316. That is P.O. Box 689. All requests for tapes are free. We'd be thrilled to hear from you on the phone if you have any questions or concerns. Join us next time. It's 1 o'clock with the Two Roads and Two Destiny Radio Ministries.